Sometimes I have taken for granted, most of you understood why we do things. And so today, I'm going to spend a subject matter on one of the things that we do. And that basically is to, in the realm of what we would what we do here, that is, myself, Ellie, I know that Joy and Rose, and I don't know anybody else, Pure Ann, I know for sure, been around forever, knowing that there's certain things that we do, and one of those things that we do is washing of feet. And today I'm going to try to explain to you why we look at what is written, the reason behind it. And it may not be what some of you have assumed, and yet it may be what you have assumed. But I feel at this particular point in time that we do this. I try to explain this to you the best that I can. And I have been very hard for me sometimes to present to you some concepts, shall we say, which I believe are very concrete, though it looks like it's not concrete. It looks like it's abstract. And sometimes that's a problem that people who come up like me, who's going to give you a message more than what we read in Scripture, page after page after page, and sentence after sentence after sentence, to introduce a concrete, in my mind, all right, reason for the washing of one another's feet. It is not a thing that is to be bypassed, in my personal opinion, and so we will not suspend that from services. I think we will have before we have our little, what we call a living Haggadah, the foot washing will happen prior to anything that we do inside this room. And that's a reason behind it, but I'm not going to go over that detail. So at this particular point in time, I want you to turn to Matthew 26th chapter. I'm going to try to speedily go along with this as quickly as I can. And I will pause perhaps in the middle of a message for if I have any people with puzzling look upon their face and having them say, okay, what are you talking about? All right. But bear with me, for this message I feel is very, very important. In the very first verse, I'm reading from the King James Version. You may have a different version. I'll go from King James to the New King James Version later. But that's for different books. I just want to bring this particular one out. And it says there, verse 1, and it came to pass that Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed, or is to be betrayed, and to be crucified. Now, what he said before were, if you go back, has to do with the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 25th chapter of Matthew. So the message he was giving to them, it was relatively soon that Passover was coming. And so we have a picture of when we read all of those parables in the 25th chapter and all of the end time things that were being said in the 24th chapter were coming toward the very end of his life. This is the reason why Matthew spent so much time explaining in detail the 24th chapter, in the 24th chapter and the 25th chapter, because it was coming to the end of his life. That is the life of Jesus himself or Yahshua. In verse 3, they assembled, this is the high priest. We know the high priest, the chief priest, they were going to figure out how they can kill him, and they didn't want to do it on a specific date called a feast day. We'll not talk about that today. I'm not interested in going into some time of what took place here at this particular point. That's not what I'm after today. But so we know that they didn't want to kill him on a certain day. So we know that he was to be crucified on what day? On the feast of Passover. We kind of all understand that in our brain and our thinking. And so it's not an issue one way or the other for us this concern, which I am going to address today. But I drop down here, and I want, he was in verse 6, he says, now he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now it doesn't mean that the fifth, this part is in numerical sequence of time. Because once again, like says the writings, when you really read these things, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they pick events and kind of put them together that relate from here to there to there to here. So we don't have real timing of what really took place here on this particular home that he was at in Bethany. Now, on John, it talked more specifically about a specific person, which was had to be Lazarus, who he raised up from the dead. And he has more specific in detail of timing in the book of John. We're not going to go through the time about timing. I just want to bring us into there. There was something here, verse 7. And what took place? This woman did something. She poured something upon his head. He did some, and it had alabaster. It was some ointment. And what was the reason? Verse 12. For this she has poured an ointment on my body. She did this for my burial. So this is the reason why this subject matter is in this 26th chapter. Matthew wanted to connect something that took place. We don't know when, we don't know the timing, but whatever took place is connected with the message he said in the very beginning of this chapter about his death. And so we're looking at this point in time, all these stories are coming together, and we need to kind of take a look at it at this time. Now drop down to verse 17. Because now Matthew runs right into what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm not going to go into detail about what that means. We'll go in detail. We're not talking about timing here. We're talking about the events that take place in the 26th chapter. And he says now, drop down to verse 21. As they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you should betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said to them, he that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same will betray me. And he talks about the Son of Man had to be by Scripture, has to be betrayed. And in verse 25, and Judas asked him, and he says, am I the one? He says, yes, you are. So we know that Judas is the one. So I want to give you the background here so we can kind of get into the scene that kind of took place. Here we have a man named Judas. We all know who it is. He's the one that betrayed him. Now remember, Judas didn't expect the death sentence. He did expect that. He would just go and just turn him in. Ask for money. And you may say, wow, what's wrong? Well, Jesus gets down into the very nitty-gritty to it and explains more in detail. And since we've gone to the book of Leviticus, I hope you'll be able to see a picture here. All right? Very important that we look at the book of Leviticus. We went to the book of Leviticus, and this is the reason why the time at this particular point in time, I want to complete the book of Leviticus before I gave this message here today about Passover and about a very specific beginning before a major thing took place. So we got a picture with inside of us what the written word of God in the book of Leviticus is really portraying here in the life of the Messiah himself and what took place. We know what the book of Psalms says. We know all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, here Jesus uses very interesting, Yeshua used very interesting words, which of course they're Greek, okay? But they translated it into English. Okay, let's take a look at it and see and understand a little bit of picture of what was really going on. Now the issue here on their time they had his dinner, the Last Supper as it's called in the book of Corinthians, but at places here it's called the Passover, and I'm not going to argue one way or the other. That's not my point here today. My point here today is just take a look and look at what's taking place. Now he continues on, and he says, "It is you." And as they were eating, now what's going on here? As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Did he give it to Judas Iscariot? In the book of Matthew, it's very evident that he did. He also took the cup and gave thanks and said to them, say, drink all ye of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Would that include Judas Iscariot? You make the decision. I'm not going to tell you. You make the decision internally. Now, with that being said, we have a picture of what the 26th chapter, summary of what it's all about, right? Something was took place. Now let's go to the 13th chapter of the book of John. We'll spend a little more time here. Now, the 13th chapter of the book of Psalm of John is of the same time sequence. John gives an entirely different, not viewpoint, a different kind of explanation of what was taking place. We'll also go to the book of Luke later and see more in detail. Because remember, the book of Luke was not there. And the only man that Luke really learned a tremendous amount was from a man named Peter. And when we go to the book of Luke, we will not read the whole section. You will understand why Jesus said what he said to Peter and why Peter expressed and taught Luke what Jesus said in order that Luke would get it written down precisely that we may understand the mind and the heart of a man named Peter. He looked like a fool, but that's not what was wrong with him. People kind of look hard on Peter. I look part Peter as one of the most greatest apostles that ever walked the earth. Because he said, you are the one that's in charge. You are the head of it, or the boss of it. And we get in the book, 26th chapter of Luke, we'll find out more in detail precisely why he said that. And then he says, Peter, this is what I'm talking about. It has to do with, very important now, has to do with what's happening here in the 13th chapter of the book of John. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world, his Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Did you notice the heart? We'll get to the heart in a minute. Jesus, knowing the Father, had given all things into his hands, that he had come from the Father, very important, he, Yeshua, had come from the Father and was going back to the Father or to God. Raised up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And of course, what did Jesus say? Listen, what I am doing to you, Peter, do not understand now, but you, Peter, will know after this. Oh, well, you'll know, Peter. And of course, he said, if you don't do, you'll know part of me. And of course, Peter says, oh, I'm going to clean my whole self. Now, verse 10, very interesting. And he who was bathed, listen very carefully, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Tomei tohor. Unclean and clean. Unclean and clean. Remember we learned that in the book of Leviticus? The very latter part of that entire book, sinners completely, after they went through the 16th chapter, the Day of Atonement, right? And all things been gone, sin has been removed, all passed on, now comes a way to live and a way of life. And the rest of the chapter centers in on clean and unclean, clean and unclean, clean and unclean, right? So look at these things. We say, okay, So here the Messiah introduces and says something. Now, if you were one of those Jewish people here, if I use those terminologies, I'll call them disciples, okay? You would know exactly what he was talking about. There wasn't a doubt in your mind. He's thinking about, just dirty feet. When he made that statement, they knew inside something was amiss. They didn't know what. They didn't know who. They didn't know what he meant. But what he did was incredible. And I always look at the Messiah, and when we do a worship, I always look at this section of the book of John, the 13th chapter. And I also look at the 22nd chapter. We won't get there right away. But he just said something very neat. And where it said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, when he had and taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Okay. He did an action. He did something first. He did something, and they're saying, okay, why? Wouldn't you ask that same question if you were there? We're talking your boss. We're talking the one that you've learned from. We're talking about the one who really and truly guided you and taught you and been with you, and you've been with him for these 3 years. And everything you know about him, you know he's the Son of God. And Peter especially knew it because he's the one who said it. And they all said, yeah, okay, we got that picture, right? They also are witnesses to hearing the voice coming down. Remember the scene in which there were, Yahshua, Moses, and Elijah. And remember what I told you, what it said? What were they talking about? Death. They weren't talking about the resurrection. They weren't talking about the kingdom of God. They weren't talking about all the holy things. They were talking about death. Whose death? Yeah, the Messiah's death. And so he had this thing, and that voice came down, and he says, "You must listen to this one, because this is the one I am well pleased with." Oh, really? Jesus also said to his disciples, we won't go in there today, maybe before Passover, we'll go through another section of John. But I want to explain to you that he says, "I do nothing unless my Father tells me." That include foot washing? Wow. Let's talk about this for a moment. Book of Luke is more stronger on it. We won't get there today. I mean, we'll get there today, but right now. Now, verse 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well," because that's what I am. 14, "If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another." He's more specific in Luke. We'll get there. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." Okay, what have you done? What is the object here? To just clean one another's feet because what he said to do so? Why would he do this? What's the purpose behind this message? Why did he do this? Is it because, well, his father said, by the way, wash your feet. So he went, wash the feet. Okay, everybody, wash your feet now. Jesus doesn't do anything foolishly. It has a purpose behind it. As we get deeper into this thing and understand what it's all about, we will understand something about the Messiah, and we'll also understand something about the Father. Because what the Father taught or wants his Son to do as the way he, Jesus, Yahshua, what he did, how he acted, especially in this area, is exactly what the Father himself would do. Ask yourself a question. Do you think the Creator of heaven and earth would ever come down, ever in your entire existence, kneel before you, and ever wash your feet? His Son did. His Son only does what his Father tells him to do. And he's told Philip, "If you have seen me, Father, and know what, see me, Philip, what I do, and how I act, how I do, what I've done, especially at this particular point in time in his life, the book of John, you know the Father would do the very same thing."
We can't picture the creator of heaven and earth ever doing that because human beings are what?
Oh, wait a minute. It's the reason why he created human beings. Now, he told his disciples, you are all clean, but not all of you. Okay? So the Father tells me something through his Son. This is my will. This is what I would do, but I am not. My Son's going to do it. Do you believe my Son? I said, he is one I am well pleased with. His actions I am well pleased with. Hear him. Respond to him. See what he's doing. And we hope that I can go through today to try to explain in detail what was taking place here. It's an unbelievable picture. Does that, when he said to his disciples later on, you will love one another. How? This is how you will prove. That's stated, by the way, at the end of his life, he says, this is how the people will know if you love one another, if you do not wash the feet, what it tells us about, what it tells you to do. And all of a sudden you say, oh no, that's a different kind of love rather than huggy-huggy. Different kind of, it's like the Father's love towards you. Like the Father's love saying, I'm going to wash your feet because you're not up, I'm going to just clean your feet. Then you'll be clean. Be holy inside and out from the head to the toe. You'll be clean and you'll be entered into my place. And then Joshua is doing the high priest. He's doing the job of washing us up that we may be entering into where his Father is at. Yes, it's a physical thing. And Jesus did it physically to show something to them, to explain something to them. And we'll get there. Please bear with me. I'm going to try my very best. I want you to see something here. Verse 16. John 13, verse 16. Excuse me, I'm run out of breath. Please forgive me. Moses, surely I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Put that in simple English. Greater is he, the Father, than he, the Son, who the Father sent to him, sent him the Son. Question. Where did the Father send his Son? To what?
The lost sheep, the house of Israel.
Let's do what it says here. We're looking at this very critical point in time. He's saying something. We'll get the book of Luke. It's very, very powerful, the book of Luke. And we understand what he's talking to these 12 men now. God sent them to the 12 men. Now these 12 are going to do something. They're going to be there for a reason. He's doing it for a reason. Washing their feet for a reason. Not because they had dirty feet. But to show them, there's one amongst you that is unclean. And they did not know who, did they? They had no idea. Even when Judas left, they had no idea. It was the wildest thing in their mind. They never even come close to picturing it. They can't tell by his actions. You know why you can't tell by his actions? Because we as human beings do something. We judge by what someone does outwardly or how someone lives, but we don't judge something else because we can't. We can't judge the heart. And you say, wow, deceptive. No, wait a minute now. There's no accusation in this room. How many of you, quote, in a quote, could look at someone's heart and say, their heart is not with this group. Therefore, their heart is unclean. How do you know that? You don't know that. And it will be a false judgment. And even if those who, quote, have left,
You could judge them. Their heart is not right. Stop it. You don't know their heart. Only God knows that heart. You understand what I'm saying? No judgment upon us, upon household. God brought every person that you and I have ever known to the Messiah Himself. You didn't bring him. Your preacher didn't bring him. Your mommy, your daddy didn't bring him. Your grandma and your grandpa didn't bring him. All the prayers of grandma and grandpa, all the prayers of mom and dad, all the prayers, they didn't bring you. Only the Father brought an individual like you and me unto His Son. Right? That's what it says, what He says anyway. Maybe Yahshua, was lying, but I don't think any of you in the room believe He's lying. I think you really know that, yeah, the reason why I'm here is not because of mom and dad, not because of tradition, it's because something greater has happened. The Father Himself said, I'm going to bring you unto my Son, and when the job is finished, He is going to wash your feet, that you'll be holy from the top to the bottom. Can you do that with one another? Peter said, Jesus said, I want you to do this to one another. Why? Kind of a silly little thing, right? In our world, we come here to wash one another's feet. Guess what we do? We make sure our feet are clean before we come here, right? We make sure our toenails are clipped right, so don't cut it by his hand, but our toenails are out there, right? Could cut somebody. And maybe our feet are kind of like, you know, raunchy. Don't want anybody to see my raunchy feet. No, no. That's not the issue here, is it? We'll get there. Please bear with me. Where did the Father send His Son? We talked about that, right? And the greatest amongst the disciples, was to do something, to remain humble and respectful to everyone who the Messiah has been, that has been drawn unto the Messiah by the Father. Everyone, even the greatest amongst them, we'll get the book of Luke here in a minute, even the greatest amongst them must do something. Humble themselves. And I said, yeah, that's easy. I can humble myself. Get out of here. Worship it. Can you allow, by what the Messiah said, for someone else to be humble as well? For them to wash your feet? And you say, well, no. I'll wash theirs, but they don't even wash mine. That's Peter's attitude, right? Wait. He says, if you don't, you'd be in trouble. You're not part of my world. Do you know what an uncircumcised heart is? Do you know what a circumcised heart is? A circumcised heart is one that is humble, one that is respectful to everyone who is drawn unto the Messiah. And respectful to your enemy, the ones that are not drawn unto the Messiah as of yet, because you don't know when the Father is going to say, that one, it may be your enemy, maybe the person you can't stand. Verse 20. We'll get into the book of Luke here in a minute. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Here is again the subject of sending and receiving. Whoever has been sent to us, our group, and who receives us, our group, or whoever we are sent to and are receiving from them, receives both the Son and the Father. Is that not what he said? So when someone
quote, leaves our group, they go to someplace else, you know what? They may be sent. Because I don't send them. Yeshua does. And that's where they are. To my mind, in the innermost part of me, the Creator's Son, in this action which He did, is the very action of humility and respect, and allowing others to be humbled by others washing their feet. It's humbleness. Is there something wrong with humbleness? Is there something wrong with sin? Now we'll get into this point now. Let's Luke 22nd chapter. Because now we get into the core of what he's talking about. And these are the words that Peter understood. Luke chapter 22. We won't go through the whole chapter. We'll just start in verse 24. He said, now this was during the time, same time period of the foot washing, very same time period of taking of bread and taking of it, same time period of taking of the wine, and same time period of all of these taking place. And here, at this particular location, this particular, quote, Last Supper, there was a dispute amongst them. Did you get this? This happened on the very same night, or that afternoon, whatever you want to call it. But nonetheless, it's very fascinating here. He said the dispute among them, which of them should consider the greatest. Now, what did Jesus say in the 11th chapter, 12th chapter? He who is what? No, the master is always greater than the servant. And the teacher is always greater than the pupil. Right? Or disciple. You're very clear at that, right? Now let's hear what else he had to say. Listen, his actions tells us who he is, what he is, how he thinks, in his heart, his mind, and his soul. Here, we take a look. The kings of the world, or the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. He said this to them on that night which he was betrayed. 22nd chapter of Luke. And I just read verse 25 and 24-25. But now he says something. Because see, we kind of take this area of, oh, let's talk about this over here, and not realizing he was talking about the night which he was betrayed, in which he gave the bread and he gave the water and the wine, and he washed their feet. That's what the subject matter is all about here. That's what subject matter is in the 26th chapter of Matthew. That's the purpose of the subject matter in Luke, the 13th chapter of John. It's a subject matter basically here in the 22nd chapter of Luke. All of them talking about the same thing. Okay, we have this, what do they call that? Parallel here, parallel here, parallel here of the Gospels, right? What does that mean? Nothing. They're just parallel. Okay, so they're all parallel. What are they saying? This is important. Here the Messiah said something, verse 26. But do not be that way. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest amongst you, let him be the younger one. And he who governs as he who serves. Listen, 22nd chapter, 22nd verse, rather. 27th verse. For who is greater? In the book of both Matthew and the book of, he says the teacher is greater than the student, right? And the master is greater than the servants, right? Clear and mud, we got that, right? Now he turns around and he says something very strong.
He says, he who is greater, who? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Listen what the Creator of heaven and earth, His most beloved Son, which He's well pleased in, did. He washed their feet. He washed their feet. Now, it's more than just, okay, the bread and the wine, okay, and more than just, the symbolism of the New Testament and of His blood and His body. He's telling them something because there was dispute amongst them at that table. And He said something because it has everything in direct relationship to washing feet. Because He just got through saying to them, Peter, don't you understand? You will not understand until afterwards. Now, true, they didn't get the picture until afterward, but that's beside the point. And here in Luke 22nd chapter, you get the picture. Peter really got the picture. He finally got the picture. Now, I'm not saying, oh, he's 88 years old. We don't know when he got the picture. I think he got it real quick, personally speaking, real quick. Especially at the death and resurrection and the seeing him. Yet, I am among you as the one who serves. Wow. You mean the one that's greatest amongst the 12 was like the servant? The one that's greatest amongst the 12 was like the younger one? The one that's greatest amongst the 12 washed their dirty feet. The greatest, not the least, the greatest. Now, what's it tell you about Messiah? What do you see when that takes place? You see something incredibly unspeakable. Now, just to tell us something, would the Father do the very same thing? Because He said, the Father is greater than I am. What is the Father going to do? He's going to serve His Son as though He is the younger of the two. Do you think the Father would ever do that? Or do you always think of Him as a big, huge hierarchy guy or being that doesn't care about anything else except His authority, His power, His strength, His might, His glory? Or does He want to give it to you? Let's continue on here. Excuse me. He says, you've been amongst me with my trials. Verse 29. At this table where they were having a dispute, the night which He was betrayed, and He's telling them what the bread's all about, telling them what the wine's all about, and washing their feet, now He tells them, do you understand what I'm talking about here? The greatest amongst you must what? Listen to this incredible statement. I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table, which He got through saying, what? Oh, He's greater at His table, right? What did He do at His table? What did He do at the Lord's table? He got down from His table, put a cloth around Him, got on His knees, and washed His disciples' feet. That's the awesomeness of God. That's the awesomeness of the Creator God. That's the awesome. God gave His beloved Son for a reason. That we'll be like Him. And understand that when God gives you, quote, authority to rule the world with rods of iron, what are you supposed to do? Get out your rod of iron and beat them to hell? That's not the object. The object is what? To serve them. Wow. But you're greater than that. Yes, you are. However, comma, what do you do? I'll tell you the most humbling thing. Any man or woman who has got jurisdiction, authority, whether it's military, whether it's economics, whether it's job, whether it's a supervisor or anything, has a feeling of,
I am going to be the boss. And I had the power to fire them if I don't like them. Right? What did Jesus do? He washed the feet of the man who's going to betray him. Can you do that? If you knew it? He served the man who's going to betray him. Is that God or is that not God? Well, it says in the book of Romans, we, before he called us, we were enemies of God. All right. Last comment. He says, you know, this whole thing is over. Now I'm going to give you a kingdom, you 12. You're going to rule the house of Israel. Each one of you are going to have power over one of the houses of Israel. You must do as I have done. Will you, Peter, get down on your knees and wash the people's feet of whatever nation I have given you authority over? Will you do that, Peter? Will you do that, John? Will you do that? And one man said, no. And therefore, it was taken away from him and given to another who wasn't even there. John 13th chapter. Just a couple of more comments, and please, this is the reason why it's so important that I just really understand eternally inside of me every time when I hear these statements that Jesus is talking about, especially in this latter part of John 13th chapter. I think about serving people. I really honestly do. And if I could have that heart, that mind, that soul, that spirit that the Messiah had to do it with those 12, can I not do it at least with one person? And can I not allow that person to have the honor to represent himself or herself as though he or she is doing what the Messiah did? Honoring those who are, quote, beneath us, end of quote. Less than us, end of quote. Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? So, in all truth, back to the 13th chapter of John, remember, this is Passover time. This is the night which he was betrayed time. He made a very powerful statement at those 12 and explained to those 12, after he's done the foot washing, after he's done the wine, after he's done the bread, and after he's already corrected them about the greater and the less and how you should rule, what you're supposed to do. You must humble yourself, must become less, you must become unimportant, you must become, because that's not what you were sent for. And when I send you out, you 12 men, I'm sending you out to do something. I am sending you out. By the way, since I sent you out, I am greater than you. That's basically what he said, right? Just as he said about himself, that the Father is greater than he. But he didn't say to his Father, do I have to worship me? No. Because the Father's will is to put and plant into these 12 men his will. And his will must be that which is voluntary. Wanting what Peter said, I want to be there. And he says, if you don't let me do this to you, Peter, you cannot be there. I want to be there. Wash me all the way. Wait. You're already clean. All I'm doing is cleaning up the stuff you walked in. Now, verse 34. John 13, chapter, verse 34. Now, here's this famous thing. A new commandment. Okay. Yeah. In the light of this statement, in the light of what Jesus did, in the light of washing one another's feet, now he says, this is what a new commandment I am telling you. What is that new commandment? That you are to love one another. How are you going to do that? Humble yourself down. Make yourself a servant unto your fellow, in this case, the 12 men, your fellow men. And wherever I send you 12, I'm going to give you a kingdom. And I want you to know that as much as the Father's given me the kingdom, His kingdom, which is the greatest kingdom ever, I have brought myself down. Because mankind is what God created. And He wants you and me to honor the people that God has created. Not show dishonor. This is where this thing, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another as I have loved you. How? That you also love one another. You know, it takes not love, but lovey-lovey. It's like, okay, I am greater than you. Oh, great. I guess I'm going to have to get down on my knees because it's commanded to do it. You know what? Is that love? Or is that an uncircumcised heart? It's an uncircumcised heart. You cannot be part of the kingdom of God if you have an uncircumcised heart, no matter how important you think you are, or I am, or anybody else is. You won't be there. So says Jesus. By this they will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, oh great. At the time of Passover, they had this quarrel going on. Bickering. Who's the greatest? Knock it off. That's not love of God. Not showing love to anybody. Actions, what you do. What He did, washing their feet, is that not an act of loving them to the end? Or is it just an action that He just had to do it because His Father told Him to do it? Why would He do that? Because He loved His disciples. He loved them so much that He got down on His knees and washed their dirty feet. Even though He is greater than all. The purpose of, I hope you could be able to understand what I'm saying, why when we do the Passover or do symbols of Passover, we think about the wine, we think about, yeah, okay, the bread, we got that, and we're going to have this thing about, you know, all the stuff that Ellie has got put together of the things of the world and how those things will be gone and be purged from our world. That's great. That's wonderful. What's next? What's next? All right. What's next is, if you are going to be in the kingdom of God, you will have responsibility. What kind of heart are you going to have? What kind of heart, basically, is the Messiah carving into you? For it says, this is the New Testament. I will plant my laws into your heart and your mind. And those laws are not grievous. They're not a bunch of, oh, I got to do this because I'm commanded to do that. No, you do it because of willingness internally, deep inside. I don't want to do anything else. Okay, I hope you understand what I said today. It's not a very difficult message, but at the same time, we accentuate on things like the bread and the wine, and raising the bread up and blessing God, and raising the wine up, blessing God, that we really don't pay attention to what was happening there. It wasn't a big meal. It may have been a big meal. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't care whether it'd be there. I'm only interested in one thing. What was the actions of the Messiah that night? What was the actions and what was He saying? What was He telling them? And we put these paralleling Matthew, paralleling with Mark, paralleling with John, and paralleling with Luke. We all got a bunch of parallels. They all say the same thing, right? Wait a minute. We should pay attention to what is being said and the actions first.